On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot.
This is Landon Collins.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We are brought to you by the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them and demand that you do the exact same thing. Big podcast coming up. But before we get to that, obviously some big news. Trent Williams sent to the non-football injury list, the NFI list. Couple things to note. This means the Redskins cannot pay Trent if they want, and that's a big deal. Of course, that's a big deal for the folks in Ashburn. And in something that has gotten to be a fairly personal back-and-forth battle between Trent Williams and Bruce Allen, that's a pretty big chip to play. It also might mean, and this would all end up in the courts, but it might mean that this year doesn't count towards Trent Williams' contract, that this year doesn't pull, and that when the Skins try to trade him in January, that they would have 2 years left on the deal, which makes him a much more intriguing trade component than 1 year left on his deal. The NFLPA and Trent Williams will obviously fight that if the Skins try that. We'll see what happens. We're going to dive into all of that next week when we're back in Ashburn. We'll get to talk to Bill Callahan about it. But obviously, we're aware of it. I got a story on NBCSportsWashington.com, video on NBCSportsWashington.com. We'll have plenty more content around that. But this is the bye weekend, and we're not going to have our stream on Friday morning, so I wanted to give you guys a pod, and I wanted to ask a kind of interesting question. Before we get to that, I want to make sure you're checking out Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Go see my guy Garv. He'll set you up with a new car, used car, lease car. They got really good financing rates over there. They got all the cars you can imagine. They'll take very good care of you. Go check out Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Here's the question I asked. What are Redskins fans still rooting for? Because I know, my Twitter, my Facebook, my Instagram, like, Skins fans are still everywhere. It's a fervent fan base. But things have gone bad this year. It's undeniable. At 1-8, even the most optimistic, positive fan has to be searching for what are you rooting for? And I know there are people out there that just root for the team to win every Sunday. And then I know there's the crowd that's worried about, you know, draft position and free agency and salary cap rollovers and all that sort of stuff. So what I did is two guys that I'm friends with that are huge Redskins fans, Chad Dukes and Barstool Nate, both unapologetic, committed to the end Redskins fans. I asked them, I said, what are you guys still rooting for? Like, what do you want to happen next? And Mitch was with me. Pete was with me for the conversations. I think you guys are really going to enjoy these conversations. And I want everybody on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, whatever, let me know what you're still rooting for, because I find that fascinating and a huge part of kind of what we're all in this thing together. Also, I'm still growing a mustache, so if you're growing one too, send us your pictures. We'll get you up on the Instagram. I'll be at LSU, Alabama. Well, I'm sure we'll post some pics from down there. We're going to start this thing with Chad Dukes, then Nate is going to join us. I hope everyone has a safe, happy, great bye week, and we'll be back at it next week from Ashburn.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Very excited to have on the big shooter, Mr. Chad Dukes. Dukes, how are you, man? How's it going?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's fun to have you on my program since you often have me on yours.
Yeah, on the internet. Well, people actually still listen to things. It's very cool.
Mitch is here and Peter here. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Chad.
Gentlemen.
What's
gentlemen.
Up, buddy?
Good to talk to you.
So I laid this out for you leaving your show the other night. One of the things I find really interesting is the people that are like just true fans of this team, kind of unapologetically, even though the losses pile up and everything else. And that's you. And I go back to the story you wrote in the Post a few years ago when there was a scenario where, you know, the Redskins would be way better off. I don't remember the specifics, if it was making a wild card berth or whatever, but the Skins needed the Cowboys to win. And you wrote a story for Steinberg for the DC Sports Blog that was just like, listen, I'm never going to root for the Cowboys because I'm a Skins fan. Do I have the basics of that right?
Yeah. There's, you can Google it, which is weird to see my name in the Washington Post clearly. But that was the impetus of the story, is that I each heard a segment I did on the radio talking about how it was overwhelmingly, probably pragmatically beneficial for the Redskins, just like it is, you know, by the way, in 2 weeks to the Jets, for them to lose the game to the Cowboys. It might have been for the Cowboys to beat somebody, and that could have helped the Redskins get into the postseason. I don't remember exactly.
I remember it was something like that, the scenario.
I just wasn't going to root for the Cowboys. Yeah, you're right.
So in that vein, knowing that this team is 1-8, and I think a lot of it's Madden and just like living in the information age and whatever you want to call it, but so many people are so like, it's become very cool to be like way ahead of what you should be rooting for, to the point where, and Chad, we talked about this on your show, Pete and I kind of had a disagreement about this, that people are like, oh, why are the Redskins giving Adrian Peterson so many carries? They should be trying to figure out other things. I'm curious where you are, and granted it's the bye week, but like when the Skins take the field against the Jets, what are you hoping happens? What are you rooting for at this point?
Well, I'm rooting. I mean, that's an easy one. It's Haskins, Geis, and McLaurin are, you know, they're going to be out there on the field most likely. I'm definitely rooting for those guys to show progress, to show there's promise. I mean, you guys do this for a living. I do it for a living. And there's a part of me Monday through Friday where I can think pragmatically, practically, analytically, whatever, about sports, and say, hey, this is what's best for the team. And Adrian Peterson, you know, taking handoffs from Case Keenum, I get that argument. It does absolutely nothing. But I just, and maybe you're right, I'm older now. I'm 40. I can't believe I'm 40. But it, like, it happens to us all, hopefully. I can't imagine getting together with my friends on Sunday and sitting there with my wife and rooting for the Redskins to lose because they might have a higher draft pick. It just seems pagan. It seems bizarre. I would never physically be able to do it. And when they lose, it hurts. And I get over it. And I do my show on Monday. And you're not going to hear me screaming and yelling like you did about that Monday Night Massacre at the hands of the Eagles anymore. But the people, what I call it is the All-22 phenomenon. That's the worst thing that's ever happened to football, is because you have a bunch of idiots that don't know anything about football, never coached football, never played it. But now they can say they watched film. And they've heard people that are smart. You know, they hear Michael Lombardi say he's watching film. And so, oh, I watch film too, so we're equal. No, you're not. You don't know anything. You're the same way that I am. You're watching it like an idiot. You just root for your team. It's not that difficult. And, I mean, why do you think the NFL is still successful? Why do we think people were watching that horrible Monday night game? It's because people were gambling. They were worried about covering the spread. They had Amari Cooper in fantasy, or Michael Gallup in fantasy. The NFL is insulated because now people don't root for the teams. They don't care about the teams. They care about themselves, like they do in all walks of life. They care about their gambling, their fantasy, and the players they've chosen to root for. And that's where we're at. So that's why I don't think a lot of people are going to be rooting for the Redskins against the Jets, just because the Redskins are their football team.
Hey, Chad, can you start over, dude? I'm sorry. I was watching the tape back from the Niners game. I wanted to see if they were hitting the whamp.
That is so funny. I don't know if you guys encounter that as much, but I mean, the people
a lot of tape, dude. A lot of tape crushers.
So to that point, you're saying that you can't get together with your friends and not root for the Redskins to win. If the coaches think that Case Keenum gives them the best chance to win, how upset are you if they start Case Keenum against the Jets or moving forward?
I'd be pissed. And I don't know where that line is, guys. Maybe it sounds hypocritical, but clearly.
I don't think it does.
Clearly what's best for the Washington Redskins is to start Dwayne Haskins. And if he would have gone out there, and I think, JB, you and I talked about this, if he would have taken 5 sacks and gotten concussed and thrown a pick 6, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, we need to get in the Tua sweepstakes. But he looked fine, and it was a really good defense, and it was cold, and, it was windy. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? I'm actually insulted that we're sitting here waiting until Monday to hear whether or not Haskins is going to start, because I don't think those other guys are huge upgrades. And to me, it's very intriguing to see him playing out there with those other two young players. So that's a weird line to walk. I get it. But as far as it's Sunday, Case Keenum, I do not think gives you a meaningful, better chance to win. They're a bad football team. They put together a couple of meaningful drives. Maybe the defense turns somebody over. Fluke things happen in the NFL. They can win, but I'm never expecting it at this point.
I think there's entirely a difference between wanting to root for your team to win on Sunday, but also seeing the big picture. And so to me, it's like, yeah, Haskins needs to be out there, but I want them to win with Haskins out there.
Yeah.
Rather than if Keenum's out there, it looks entirely different.
That's kind of how we are. It's like, it probably in the long run, it's best for them to lose. But when you're there Sunday and you know you have to go into a losing locker room, you'd rather them win so you can just get through the day today. But we're talking about looking down the road and how that's kind of annoying, but let's look down the road. What is your best and worst case head coaching scenario for the Redskins whenever they do name one in January, February, whenever it comes?
I have Tommy Lavero on the show all the time, and he's kind of stuck by the Todd Bowles thing. And I sit around and I think about that. It's like, well, that's not sexy, but I don't think they're going to get Lincoln Riley. You know, I think if they put together a Jay Gruden package for Mike McCarthy, maybe that can happen. But the idea of, you know, they're pretty good at picking out some of this offensive talent. And the idea of O'Connell getting a full season of calling plays with a defensive-minded Joe Gibbs-endorsed head coach, that sounds pretty good to me. And it also doesn't sound like we're going to give up 2 picks and try to go get Mike Tomlin. I mean, that's early 2000 Dan Snyder, and he's not early. I mean, he's got a lot of problems, and this team has a lot of problems, but they're not that team anymore. They're not the offseason champions as much as, you know, the national media doesn't really update their file. So if Bowles is somebody that can come in and kind of stabilize while you give O'Connell a chance to develop this offense and continue his work with Dwayne, it doesn't seem like those are lofty expectations, but it seems like, I guess, the healthiest thing that could happen, if anything healthy can happen with this organization right now.
And I'll add this. We know that Snyder relies on Joe Gibbs as kind of a, I don't want to say mentor, but certainly as a strategist, consultant, whatever that term is. That
trusted
advisor. Yeah, an advisor for the organization. I've heard from people that know that Gibbs absolutely thinks Bowles is the guy for the job. So if his word carries what many of us think it does, I won't be surprised at all if Todd gets that job.
And with me, if Gibbs came in and said, you know, we're going to need your daughters, your little girls, sell them to me, I'd say, okay, whatever you want, coach. Like, I mean, I'm still in that.
I would not, for the record.
You would definitely sell me.
Pete's for sale.
Give it a couple years. Sometimes you think, like, I mean, I can't get outside that Joe Gibbs box, too, so I'm always going to be influenced by that. But to go back to the quarterback thing, a good example of this, you guys remember when Alex Smith was, you know, 6-3, 6-4, whatever it was, and people were saying, well, he'll never be able to beat the Falcons or the Saints in the playoffs, so what's the point? That's the thinking I don't get. It's like, give yourself the chance. I mean, I had dummies calling into my show saying the Nationals shouldn't sweep the Cardinals because they'd have 2 time off. So go
I was there. That drove
the
me
game.
Crazy.
That is
it's
dumb.
Like, dude, if you can win football games in the NFL, if you can get to the playoffs, if you can get to the World Series, do it. And worry about the ramifications of how your rotation sets up later. That's a weird sports fan thing.
Who is your worst case, drives you nuts, head coaching hire?
Ooh, that's a really good, probably anyone you have to give up compensation for. Not that I don't think Mike Tomlin's a good head coach, but they've actually drafted pretty well. I mean, some of these guys aren't panning out, but I want the assets. I want the picks. I want you to keep that stuff. I wanted you to trade Trent Williams for picks. I wanted you to trade Ryan Kerrigan for picks. I don't want you giving up picks for a coach. So no disrespect to him or anybody else they might want to do that for, but that's probably worst case scenario for me.
We're a month into Bill Callahan.
That's what I was going
to
say.
What do you think if they decide to just, hey, let's keep the status quo, Bill Callahan, Greg Minuski, KOC, that three-headed monster?
I mean, this is not going to be popular, but I wouldn't hate it as much as I think maybe a lot of people who listen to this show would. Callahan seems like he's a steadying influence, I think. I mean, people hate the running thing, but if you look at this team and say, well, what else are you going to do? They have no weapons. I mean, they have no weapons anywhere. Losing both those tight ends was so huge. I think I'd probably hate it less, but can you imagine if they just decide to go with what they have in the next season? We think FedEx Field looks bad now. Imagine what it looks like a year from now. I can't even imagine that they'll think the status quo is appropriate.
Like it'd be like week 17 against the Eagles, dude.
I want to know what happened to you in that game, JP. Good Lord. I'm going to bring in a doll and I'm going to find out where the Eagles fan touched you.
Oh, no.
I know you got to run. I know you got to run. You have your own radio show.
I want more lines like that.
Everybody should listen to Chad Dukes versus the World. I have two questions, neither of which are football related. Yes. Actually, one is a question and one is just I want you to talk about something.
All right.
When you and your wife fly on an airplane, how do you sit? What's the seating arrangement?
Well, I am a big fat mess, so I sit on the aisle, and then she legitimately is punished for taking care of herself. She has to sit in the middle seat, and then whatever disaster sits in the window with the BO or the snoring or the ones that talk, she's got to deal with that person. So I take advantage of her because I can't figure out a way to walk on a treadmill. So it's very unfortunate.
So a couple things here. And
the aisle is the way to go.
This just came to mind. Sure, when my wife and I travel, we go aisle and just try to be next to one another because my wife is incredibly stubborn and refuses to go in the middle, and I guess I am too.
If she's incredibly stubborn, what are you?
I don't know, right. But I flew back from Buffalo in between a husband and wife where she was on the window, he was on the aisle, and these were older folks. I mean, these people were in their 60s or something.
They spent a lot of time together. They don't need to sit next to each other for an hour.
I was stunned. But what I had never seen, I just saw this on Instagram, and Chad, tell me if you would ever consider this. Mitch's friend Dan just posted an Instagram story where it's he and his wife stacked like in rows behind one another, both sitting on the same side of the plane at window seats. That's the most bizarre I've ever heard of.
C-28 and C-29.
They clearly hate each other's guts. Because you're not even getting the advantage. The aisle, you could say you both want to get out and stand in the aisle.
And you can talk to one another across the aisle. That's easy.
It's also, you're talking about a flight back from Buffalo, which is 1 hour. They're flying to Hawaii. Do you want to have your wife stuck in the middle next to some...
I don't know, man. That's a weird...
That's a long flight to be...
It's weird.
At that point, just sit totally far away from each other. Why are you even messing with being in the same couple rows?
The difference between my wife and my situation with my wife and JP's is my wife still enjoys my company. I mean, we don't have 37 kids. So like when we travel someplace together, we're still happy to do it. Where clearly there's something else going on in the Finley house.
Yeah, it's
you guys are going on vacation. JP is going on trips.
Yeah, it's an obligation at this point.
Yeah, he's going to Disney World and I'm going someplace purely to get drunk.
JP's giving my buddy a hard time about sitting in.
What's giving him a hard time?
Or just bringing it up. You went to Kiawah Island?
Went to Charleston.
Charleston this summer, and your wife flew and you drove.
Yeah, that's a
weird
one.
We needed the car, dude. We needed all the car seats for the 37 kids.
Rental cars exist.
No.
I don't want to talk about a weird situation.
She flew with her parents and I drove because we needed the car. And I would make that drive 10 times out of 10.
As
Chad,
long as your wife flew.
Can we
that
let
sounds
our guests
really restful
talk, Mitch?
And relaxing. That sounds awesome.
Mr. Dukes, you have a big-time event this week that I want to make sure all our listeners know about.
Yeah, and thank you guys, JP, the NBC Sports Watch, all the good people. Thank you for donating to the silent auction. It's the Chad Dukes Veterans Day Jamboree. 100% of the proceeds go to Stop Soldiers Suicide, which is a charity I work with every year. And we raised some good money for them, and I'm really proud of that. It's at the Tally Ho Theater on Saturday. We got three great bands, silent auction, a whole bunch of great stuff. They're, club seats to the game next Sunday, which it still would be a lot of fun to sit there and booze.
And parking.
Perfect.
Parking's important.
Better than that. A bunch of beer stuff, some Capital stuff. Really great. People can check out Chad Dukes Veterans Day Jamboree on Instagram. I'll see all the stuff we're doing. And then tallyhotheater.com for tickets. Third time I've done it. Our goal is to raise $26,000 for Stop Soldier Suicide. So we appreciate anybody that helps us do that.
Admirable goal, admirable cause. We are happy to help any way we can. And appreciate the time. Shooter, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, boys. Always appreciate you having me.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
All right, Barstool Nate is on the phone. You want me to say your real name or no?
I think you ask me that every time, and I think every time I'm like, I don't know. You can call me whatever you want, I guess.
All right, I call you Nate. So this is Nate. How are you, buddy?
I am wonderful. You said I had to bring the energy, so I'm bringing the energy.
I don't know if you are.
Redskins make me happy every day, day in, day out.
Yeah.
I wake up dreaming of them. I go to sleep thinking of them. It's been such a good, fun season, and I hate the bye week because it means you can't watch the Redskins, and that just makes me so upset.
You got to watch everybody else who you want to see lose so the Redskins do well.
Do some playoff scouting.
Oh, yeah. I'm deep in playoff scouting right now. I'm very, very deep.
All right, I want a serious question. You are a Skins fan. Whether you like it or not, you are born into this thing, and you have stuck with it for your 27, 28 years on this planet, whatever that means.
I'm 31.
Wow, all right. Old.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever that number is. At this point in the season, what are you rooting for? Because let's be honest, like, nobody's selling the team. You know what I mean? Like, what are you rooting for to happen? Because you're not going to stop being a Skins fan. I know you well enough. You're in this thing. So what do you want to happen?
I mean, okay, there's two ways of looking at it. And I look at it both ways, and depending on the day and what I eat for breakfast, I can go either way. The one side is I'm rooting for Haskins' development. I'm rooting for Geis to get on the field and show that he is the pick that we want him to be. I'm looking for just all-around improvement from the young guys and just, like, something to build on for next year. Like, that's what I want to happen. But what I'm actually kind of rooting for in my heart of hearts is just complete embarrassment. I want us to get blown out at home by the Jets in front of 50,000 Jets fans. I want it just to be absolute just circus clown, just terrible environment. Just I want everything to fall as low and low and low as possible. But I also want, you know, the players I like to be good. So I go back and forth. I root so hard for the players that I like because I like the Redskins. I like the players. I root for these guys that I can't figure out day to day what I'm actually rooting for.
Looking down the stretch, like, so the game that I always – there's multiple games to point to as far as, like, low points, embarrassing points, right? But I think that the end of the Shanahan era was that Chiefs game. Like, it was already going to be over, but that Chiefs game at home, where they gave up a punt return and a kick return.
Snowing. No one was there.
I mean, that was the low point of that era. Gruden, you can pick. The Pats blowout at home was fairly predictable. I think getting down 40-0 to the Giants the year before with Mark Sanchez starting is a pretty damn low point. Looking ahead, though.
The Week 17 game against the Giants when they had a chance for the playoffs. Just absolutely.
I think that kind of got hung on Kirk, but certainly that's a part of it.
28-0 on Monday night against the Bears.
Sure. There's plenty of them, right?
Yep.
But looking down the stretch at the seven remaining games, and you can call this like the Callahan era, whatever you want it to be, I don't know that I see that game where the Skins get embarrassed until I think there's two options, right? You got the Packers, but that's in Green Bay. So there's that little bit of built in, like, oh, they were playing in Lambeau and Aaron Rodgers was dialed in, whatever might happen. The Eagles at home in week, what would that be, 15? I think that's an opportunity for, I mean, we saw the Eagles in FedEx last year, week 17. That was your embarrassing blowout. I think that could be it. Cause I don't see the Jets or the Lions coming in here and dropping 40.
That's what would make it the embarrassment. Lions is the Thanksgiving game. So, you know, maybe they blow us out 53-0 on Thanksgiving.
No, it's not on Thanksgiving, dude.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, we'll take that out then.
It's my first Thanksgiving off in like a month.
Why don't you think it was on Thanksgiving?
In like 3 years. Because it's the Lions and it's, I mean, if you look at that date, November 24th, and you're playing the Lions,
it's the 24th. Yeah,
it's easy to think that.
28th. What happened to our calendars this year where like Thanksgiving is basically in December?
I don't know. I'm not a calendarologist.
You know, last Thursday of the month.
Thanks, Mitch. I don't agree with you because. Okay, I agree with you to a point. I don't know if it can be as embarrassing if you're starting Haskins because he's
That's
the
true.
Rookie. And
point.
As we saw last week, they're not even trying to win games. There was a point, it was a one possession game, it was an 8-point game in the fourth quarter, and we went run, run, punt. So we're not even trying to win these games. So it's hard to be, you know, embarrassed when we're just in full tank mode. But at the same point, losing 43-0 would be embarrassing. Just giving up 6 touchdowns to Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers, right, or something like that,
dude,
would be embarrassing. But I don't know if they can get any lower because it's just the status quo now. The status quo is rock bottom. So if you're already chilling on rock bottom, can't really get much lower.
I ranted about that, and Mitch, I know you want to say something, but after the Bills game, you wonder if they were playing to keep that close rather than trying to win. And I think that's an incredibly dangerous place to be.
1,000,000,000%. I like
now, some of it is maybe playing it safe with a rookie quarterback on the road, and you got to acknowledge that.
But you know, for the games before that with the Niners and whoever else, they kept close for no reason.
Right.
Yeah, no, I like what they did with Haskins, where they didn't make him throw downfield that much, where it was very protected, very safe. Because when we saw him against the Giants, 3.5 picks, they did not want to repeat that disaster. So I like the fact that they were baby and Haskins. We're already 1-7 going into 1-8. It's like, why even bother forcing the ball, letting Haskins make mistakes that he doesn't have to make? So I was okay with that. This is very funny where all the other guys on the team are putting their bodies and life on the line, and Callahan literally has zero desire to win a football game. It must suck going to work. Like, it must suck waking up on Monday morning with all your bones hurting, knowing that your coach literally doesn't want to win football games.
And then you get an extra practice on the bye week.
Right.
Yeah, that's brutal. I feel bad for, like, the Kerrigans, the guys who have been through it all. It's like, really? Like, we're not even going to attempt to win a game? Why would I trot my back out there? Like, that's what sucks.
I get your ire with the organization, but, like, as a Redskins fan, how can you root for such total chaos knowing that basically, like, the ridicule you're going to take as a fan? Like, we've all seen what it's like around your offices when teams win and lose, and amongst your friends and everyone else. Doesn't it suck watching games on Sunday rooting for chaos?
That's why it's so tricky. I root for the Redskins. I want to win every game. I want to win a Super Bowl. I come into every season, like every dumb Redskins fan, super optimistic. Oh, look at the schedule. We might be able to eke out 10-6. Case Keenum's not that bad.
You and me both, buddy.
Everywhere he's been, I go on and on and on and on with that, and then Bruce Allen just ripped my heart out. And it's just, now that we're at this point,
I have an incredibly unpopular take that you're probably going to vehemently disagree, and you and I have texted back and forth about this, so you know what's coming.
Yes.
I get not liking Dan. Obviously the team's been bad since he owned them, like that's obvious, right? I do think I do disagree with the notion that he doesn't care, because I think he has insulated himself to a point where at 7-9 and mediocrity, which they've been the last 5 years under Jay Gruden, basically, that he hears kind of the silverest of linings.
We're close.
Right. But I think this year will be a real test, because let's see. To me, they can get to 3-13. I mean,
best case.
Right. I mean, who knows?
They get hot down the stretch.
Maybe they go 1-15. Like, whatever it is, it's awful, right? Even if it's 4-12, it's awful. I think he'll have to make fundamental changes, right? Like, no owner can tolerate that.
If he doesn't do it then he's going to lose everybody.
Are you kidding? We've done this 1,000,000,000 times, though. That's what I don't get in your argument. He knows what he's doing is wrong. He refuses to change. And the change he does make is always just like a coaching change. Meanwhile, it's an organizational problem.
But hold on.
Not just on the field. It's the entire organization. The people he surrounds himself with, like Bruce Allen, are not fit to run a football team. There is no change coming. He will replace people, but he himself will not allow him to change. He thinks if he just keeps going that something will turn around, even though 20 years of the same BS proves otherwise.
Like, the results are there, and I'm of the mindset that I have never, like to me, like, you follow me, dude. You know the stuff I say and write. Like, it doesn't need to be personal because the results are so bad, you can just let the results speak for themselves. But the only things I'll point out, and you're right, certainly to some degree, that, like, things change, but the product doesn't really. But the last couple years, things have gone this bad. They have overhauled. So in 2009 was the first time they really bottomed out with Vinny. And 4-12, they fired Vinny. Granted, they hired Bruce, but at the time, but dude, hold on. At the time, we thought that was a good hire. At the time, go back and check the receipts, man. At that point in time, they hired Bruce, and then right after that, they hired Shanahan, and people were like, oh wow, they got this thing figured out. Clearly, that went bad between the shit. Right.
Does.
Right.
He hires retread. He hires, like, Bruce Allen got finished screwing up Tampa, so we came up here. Shanahan wasn't really considered like the hottest coaching commodity at the time. He was a retread, the same way that Snyder
was. Jay wasn't a retread. Jay was trying to find the hot young coordinator.
Jay was a good hire. I agree with that.
Well, and so here's all I'm saying is that when there are levels of bottoming out that we haven't really seen, like 5-11, Spurrier quits, he goes and gets Gibbs. You know, like 4-12, Zorn, Vinny. I think there is a hard reset coming. I don't know that anything will change. I can't ever stipulate that that will be. I don't know that, right? And there's enough evidence to support your theory that nothing's going to change. And I just, it gets harder and harder for people watching these games on Sunday.
Nate, do you think if Haskins hits and they get a new head coach, and the head coach hits, and do you think that's enough to combat Dan and Bruce, or do you think it needs to be Bruce out, or do you think it's impossible, no matter what the combination is of GM, head coach, quarterback, Dan is going to be on the greater side of that equation, and that's going to cloud the Redskins no matter what? Is there any hope that something can fix and overrule and overpower Dan's influence, or are you just hopeless no matter what?
Like 2012, we saw if you bring in a generational type player like RG3 was that year, that talent on the field can overcome that stuff. But we saw what happened with that, and then we saw what happened afterwards, all in for week one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this team has talent. If this team take this roster and put it up in New England with Kraft and Belichick and that staff, we're in first place. Easy. Like, this team has talent. It's just the fact that the organization is so screwed up from top to bottom that it won't, you know, bring in a new head coach. Dan Snyder is still deciding on draft picks. Why should that guy get to decide, you know, who plays football on the football field instead of the coaches or the GM, which we don't even have, by the way?
So
if he replaces Bruce, it'll be another yes man. But yeah, he surrounds himself with yes men who do what he say because they cash fat paychecks. And when it comes down to it, you know what? A lot of people would rather have big six-figure paychecks and just say yes to Dan Snyder than anything else.
Six-figure, seven-figure, man.
What did I say, six? Seven.
Yeah, seven. Wow. But I'll say, again, I am a person that points to the record, and the record is awful, and nothing needs to go beyond that to me.
Yeah.
He is less involved now than he has been. And that's documented from people way above my pay grade. You can talk to like Lewis Riddick and guys on that national level that have said that on the record, right?
But that's all hearsay and leaks and Bruce Allen leak and stuff. And I don't believe anything that anybody says because it's all political with the skin. You know,
I have said this repeatedly, that there is a fundamental problem there where winning is not what drives every decision. And sometimes,
right.
Yeah, look at the Trent debacle.
Right. They allow things to become personal.
Recent
how
example.
You don't trade Trent Williams. Everybody knew how this was going to shake out if you don't trade him. And then sure enough, he's in the locker room giving this press conference saying he doesn't trust the front office in their own locker room. Like, how do you allow
the
that to happen?
Bizarre is the bizarre.
It's beyond bizarre. It was poorly managed. It was what I said all along, was that if this gets to Labor Day, you have to trade him. You cannot allow this to go longer, because you know if he gets to Labor Day and he's not showing up, means he's willing to go into the regular season. And once it got there, to not pick up the phones and start working that trade was operational malpractice.
Like, and who didn't trade him with Bruce Allen, and what happened over last offseason? Dan Snyder gave Bruce Allen an extension and a promotion. Nothing will change. Bruce Allen has been the worst of the worst for years, and he gets rewarded for it. Literally could not care.
The one thing I say different is that I know that Snyder cares about winning and losing. I mean, I've seen him agonize over it. So the route to this is the one thing Nate and I text about all the time. The route there is, to me, incredibly misguided, right? They're clearly not winning. So you got to re-examine everything you're doing. But I truly believe he cares to win. What I've pointed out to you is that he has, but you're saying it's just hitting the reset button on the same video game.
Right. Like, he's if you consider that change, I don't even understand how you could consider that change when it's the same result time after time.
There have been hard resets every 5 or 6 years, which to me is a bigger point of organizational dysfunction. Like, a really good team, like, I just look to the Ravens. I mean, they're just up the road, right? Like, they had Ozzie since the team moved there from Cleveland, probably 97. I don't know when they moved there, but they had Ozzie for damn near 20 years, 25 years. And then Ozzie's number two took over. And it's been seamless, and they've been good. Like, look at, like, that one of the things with this Tomlin thing that is so remarkable to me is that you're talking about a guy that coaches for the most stable organization in all professional sports. They've had three head coaches in 50 years, and all of them have won Super Bowls. And you're going to bring them here to the most volatile organization, at least in the NFL? Well,
let me say this about Mike Tomlin. He is a bottom three head coach in the NFL. He is clueless as a head coach. It is incredible what winning one Super Bowl can do in the public eye for a coach, because he is brainless. And Dan Snyder is going to give him a ton of money for absolutely no reason.
I don't know about no reason. I don't think the Tomlin thing happens.
Well, who's your guy?
Yeah.
Who should be the head coach?
This is our last question. We got to let you go. Best and worst case scenarios for, we'll call it 2020.
Head coach.
Well, we have a bunch of guys in-house. You know, we have McVay, we have LaFleur, we have Kyle,
who all
could be very good head coaches in the NFL. So it would be crazy if they let any of those three walk. So I think you kind of just stay in-house and you pick who you want to keep
between
like the three hottest young coaches in the league. That would be crazy if they somehow ended up being head coaches elsewhere and all three of them succeeding.
Okay. What's your worst case scenario?
Worst case.
Should those three happen to get away?
Which wouldn't happen, but if they somehow get rid of them.
So is KOC your guy then? Because you don't want to let the next one get away?
It wouldn't surprise me if KOC is the guy, because that's the way the NFL, that's like the new hip thing, is you hire the young hip coach to be the head coach. I don't necessarily know enough about KOC to say, is he the next McVay, this or that. I don't think it would hurt to keep the Haskins KOC coach quarterback together to see what they can do. The worst case is obviously something like Tomlin or another retread of a head coach.
What do you think about Todd Bowles?
Todd Bowles would be such a Dan Snyder hire. Like, look, the Redskins tradition is coming back.
Joe Gibbs wants him. Joe Gibbs wants Bowles.
Bowles is an atrocious head coach. Dan Quinn would be terrible. Tomlin would be terrible.
Let me say this about Tomlin. Tomlin is 130-70 in his career. So, he's winning games at a 650 clip. That's pretty damn good.
Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben, Santonio Holmes. Why did I say Santonio Holmes? Antonio Brown.
He did have Santonio Holmes.
Yeah. I meant to say Brown, though. Dude, like, he has all the talent. You know, he's played with great
Troy Polamalu.
Todd Bowles, on the other hand. Todd Bowles, in 4 years with the New York Jets. Anybody want to guess his winning percentage?
227.
Yeah, 350.
319.
375.
Hey, he fits right in. That's exactly what the Redskins are doing.
Yo, that's on par.
Right on par.
Right.
Nate, how do you feel about keeping Big Bill Callahan?
I think that's when we just shut down the NFL. If the NFL allows him to be the head coach of the Washington Redskins, I think there's something aloof. I think it's just like you shut down the NFL and you start over.
This can be a one-word answer for you, but is there ever a point where you'll just punch out and quit? Are you going to be a part of this, rooting for this no matter what happens, even though you slowly hate it more and more?
Oh, no, I'm all in. Again, I still want to win every game. I still come into every season optimistic. It's like, wow, Landon Collins, he's going to be great. You know, Case Keenum, he went to the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. What could possibly go wrong? And then it'll all go wrong, and then we'll just do it all again the next year.
Okay.
Nate, thank you, buddy.
Keep you as a podcast guest for years down the line.
I think it was either Nate or Steinberg were the first ever guest we had. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Is it okay?
I can't wait to do it again.
Do you want us to call you by your first name? You want us to reveal your name? What do you think here?
I'm up for anything. Everybody knows my real name at this point anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
Goodbye. Thanks for bringing the energy.
Goodbye, Eric.
Hey.
Thank you.
Bye. Love you guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
Mitch shooting a 39 on the back of CCV and carrying me to victory.
You guys hear about that, by the way?
Oh, yeah. No.
It was the juiciest thing I've been a part of. Our chest bump on 16 after you rolled in the birdie. I'll never forget.
$150, right? Yeah. $150.
He putted it from
I putted it. It was like a 40-foot putt. Like,
over a sprinkler head.
Wow.
It's 40 feet now?
52.
It's going to be 95. I want to get like the Tressway voice and like, man, Mitch rolled in that putt from 16, man. It was 40 feet away over 10 sprinkler heads and a gator was on the green.
I saw it go left, right, cut.
It was a triple breaker, hit the flag stick, broke the flag stick, still went down.
I've played a lot of golf with Mitch. I've never seen you dialed in like that.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service?
Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.